The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me on this wonderful Friday. You know what that means? It's Casual Friday. How exciting is that? With me today, I have, of course, Mr. Adam. How are you today, Adam?
I'm good, sir. How is everyone out there?
Right. Well, hopefully they haven't been blown away like we almost have been today with all the storms and stuff.
And I bet we have listeners in New York like, okay, tell me about your rain and your storms. Right? That's my horrible New York accent.
That's biblical.
Yeah.
What's going on over there is simply biblical.
Oh, hopefully
everyone's safe over there. That's pretty incredible. We've had some incredible lightning over the past 6 hours or so. It's been really fun to watch. I mean, you were able to watch it while your wife was painstakingly driving you into the station.
Wow, my wife was white knuckling it down. I, being the passenger, I get to sit there and watch all the pretty lightning light up the sky. But in all seriousness, there, if you are traveling out right now, there are portions of 169 north and south that have gotten beat up pretty good. So please be careful driving out tonight.
We don't call him PSA Adam for nothing. So, you know, just got to make sure that you always, it's just, and like I said, when I got in here today, it's like, why is so many people out tonight? You know, I mean, I know people are going to be like, well, it's Friday night and stuff. Listen, I drive this every week. You know, I drive that every day. Friday's really not any busier than any other day. But, boy, they're out tonight. A lot of semis as well.
Yeah, we saw plenty of cars out there, too. And it was heavier than it normally is on a Friday night driving down here. I don't know if there's really anything going on in the cities. I'm blocked out for, you know, Ghostbox Radio. So I don't pay attention to anything going on Thursdays or Fridays.
Yeah. I guarantee for myself, even if I wasn't doing the show Friday nights, I'd probably be at home then. You know, I mean, that's kind of how I roll. I mean, or investigating.
I'm just trying to sound neat.
Well, yeah, I know.
I'm a father of a teenager, so I'm probably home.
Well, and you know, I understand that we try to give the impression that we're, you know, have lives and stuff, but I've given up on that a long time ago. It's very clear I don't. So Casual Friday, folks, you know the rules, and if you don't, it's very simple. We talk about whatever we want. If you want to call in today and talk about whatever you want, you're more than welcome to do so. You can call in at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you're in New York, feel free to call in and let us know what it's like out there, how are things going. Hopefully everything is all right. The mayor said that you drive in New York at your own peril. So that's something pretty frightening. But Adam and I were talking beforehand, before the show. Have you ever had any paranormal or odd activity that you cannot explain because of a storm? Like something's happening, a storm's happening, and something happens, like you see something in the lightning or whatever else you can't explain. Put it in the comments. Give us a call. Whatever you want to do. I think it'd be really interesting to hear about. Adam, as I was telling you before the program started, the only thing that I really remember that really stands out for me, I was driving through Kansas City in May a couple years back through Pratt, Kansas. I was on my way to Arizona, and I was driving with somebody, and severe weather was kind of all around us, which, to be very honest, was why I wanted to do it, because I love severe weather. I storm chase, all that stuff. Not at night, though. That's I don't like that. But so I'm driving through Pratt, Kansas, and I see lightning off to my right, like far off to my right. And within that, I see a silhouette of a cone, a tornado.
That is so scary.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But, you know, it was very easy to kind of see where it was going. And, you know, it was nice is like I see that. I look on the radar. I see the cell. I see what's going on. I get it. We would have ran into it, so we stopped for the night. But it's one of those things that's it's very serious, and this is probably for us. I would say that this is our last storm hurrah, probably for the season. Would be my guess.
Most likely. And it did really just hold off until the end of September here because we didn't have any major storms other than like one or two throughout the Twin Cities. Now, I know other parts of the state had some pretty major storms.
Oh, yeah.
But throughout the metro area, this is probably the second or maybe the third decent storm that's rolled through.
No, absolutely. And I always find, and I'm actually surprised it's going to be as warm as it will be tomorrow, because I find that it seems very often that at the end of the season like this, you have one great big, storm. It changes everything weather-wise. It becomes much cooler after that. And it's normally at the end of November going into September going into October. But it appears tomorrow we're going to have another summer day, I guess.
Yeah, heat index, the real feel, as they call it, is supposed to be low 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to be running around in shorts and a T-shirt instead of a hoodie for once.
Well, and I'll tell you, when meteorologist Patrick speaks, I listen. So, that's kind of, from the KTNF Weather Center, that is where you're sitting right now, as it happens, and where I think they get their weather from weather.com. So, that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, that's the one that's saved here, and been kind of watching the radar on it, and it's a pretty looking radar right now.
Yeah, it is, and you could see that the storms are continuing, like they keep coming. They're going to keep coming through this area for quite some time. So that's fine. That's totally fine. We'll watch them. If anything of interest comes through, we'll let everyone know. But it's right now. It just looks like kind of a lot of special weather statements, and just be careful where you're going and keep your eyes open out there. So, tomorrow it should, like we're talking about the weather being nice. Tomorrow is Minnesota Para Connection 2023. That's at the St. Cloud Armory in St. Cloud, Minnesota. It's just right outside the Twin Cities, northwest. And for those of you, we've been talking about it all week, and if you're local, definitely come on out. It's a great opportunity if you're into the paranormal that you're going to meet a lot of teams out there. There's a lot of vendors out there, mediums, tarot card readers, all sorts of things. I'm going to be out there tomorrow. Char Savoy will also be out there. In fact, we're going to be doing a presentation tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 p.m. And it centers around some paranormal activity we got at the Grant House, which you, Adam, now know exactly what we're talking about. And it's going to be a fun day tomorrow. And, as much as I look forward to seeing my friends that I haven't probably seen in quite some time and talk about stuff, and a lot of people are going to come by and we're all going to have great conversations about paranormal, they're going to have some pretty awesome food trucks there tomorrow. They're talking like barbecue chicken. They're talking a taco truck that's pretty much on the next level. So, I love talking paranormal, but I also love to eat. So there's going to be a lot of that happening, I think, tomorrow. And I have no problem with whatsoever. It's $7 to get in, and it's going to be – I think it's just going to be a fun time. There's going to be a lot of great people. And I hope I hate to say it. I mean, I know it's going to be a nice weather day tomorrow, but I hope it doesn't deter people from coming out and checking it out, because I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be like, it's probably going to be the last 80-degree day we're going to have this year. That's true. But, I know the people who are putting this on, and they put a great deal of work into making this a very fun experience for everybody. So if you're thinking about doing so, please do so. Please come out and support these wonderful people who have put this together. Search for Spirits, SIM, which is Supernatural Paranormal Investigators Minnesota, as well as Cryptid Chicks. So they've been putting this together, and they're doing everything that they can to make it a really fun experience for everybody. And I just want to make sure that that is related to everybody. So and I'm just kind of looking something up here real fast. Hope it's not on there. And what I'm looking up for is I totally messed up the name of one of the teams that have been putting this on. It's Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota, SIM. I just wanted to make sure I cleared that up. Sometimes, Adam, one talks so quickly that they don't realize that they're saying everything wrong. You know how that goes. So.
Oh, yeah. I've done that for, let's see, I've been married over 20 years. So I've been doing that the entire time.
That's a whole different can of worms right there.
So is this the first one that they've put on?
So it's the first one I don't think it's the first one that they put on. I think they've done other ones. I think it's one of the few that have been put on by all these groups. I know that Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota, SIM, had put on some over the years. Matter of fact, one of the first things I've ever took part in as part of the paranormal community was one in Faribault, Minnesota, back in 2015, something like that. And it was a lot of fun. You know, it's really interesting, though. I know a lot of people know that I do a lot of spirit box work, you know, with paranormal equipment-wise. And when I got into the community, and I came out there with my little spirit box, and I was supposed to be on a panel with everybody else talking about stuff. And I get there, and I'm just like, you know, it was like my first day of school, right? You know, I'm just like, I got my spirit box. And there are so many people are like, we don't use those. Like, why? And they're like, because they're unreliable. I mean, it's just something comes to the radio, and, you know, we don't know if that's really spirit or not. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I sat on a panel with my peers that I've never met before, and they kept going down the line, like, play some recordings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had very good stuff. I'm not saying anyone didn't have good stuff, but I would play my stuff, and I blew people away because they've never heard the spirit box sound so intelligible before. And that was something that they weren't used to. And I'm not saying that turned everybody on that panel to start using spirit box, but
right.
I think that some use it more than they had before. Some are still adamant about being against it. And some of them were using it incorrectly because they would take off like the antenna and stuff. And I said to Gary Galka, not to name drop, right? But we had him on the show.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it sounds to me, based on how he said that spirit communicates with us using spirit box, it sounds to me that you need to have that antenna on. He goes, absolutely you do. You have to have that antenna because it's going for the most powerful radio signal nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have that antenna going. And I'm like, well, what about the people who are removing their the antennas and stuff? And they're just like, yeah. He's just like, no, you don't want to do it that way. So you know, it's just interesting how that works, and you know, whatever works for everybody else, but for me, you know, I, as you know, and as you experienced yourself this past weekend,
oh, yeah.
Spirit Box is very interesting, and Spirit Box can have some stuff that comes through that is remarkable.
Now, I will admit, I was a Spirit Box skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
Up until, and I saw it on a show, but it did actually change my mind about it.
Yeah.
Ghost Adventures used a spirit box in Pevelia Island.
Mm-hmm.
This is a U.S.-made spirit box that only surfs AM and FM. And they were still getting replies on Pevelia Island from it that were clear. Some were in English. Some were in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually kind of changed my mind on the spirit box. And then getting to know you a few years later and hearing what you got through the spirit box and how concise it is with the questions you were asking really turned the corner for me about 2 years ago when I started board hopping your show.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I was skeptical, and then you loaned me one to play with, and I've gotten some really decent responses out of it, things that totally make sense to the questions I'm asking. And, yeah, you completely flipped me on the spirit box.
And as you found this last weekend at the event, that you have, which is what I personally believe, holding on to it opposed to having it on the ground.
Yep.
That or on something. It's night and day.
It really is. We were in the kitchen area of the Grant House.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first ones who I think really got in there, according to Char, that spent more than like 5 minutes in there.
Yeah.
And Char's like, let's do a spirit box. And I had the one you had given me. And I set it down on one of the prep areas. Nothing. Not a thing. As soon as I picked it up, because Char's like, okay, we're not going to get anything. Let's turn it off. as soon as I picked it up, raisin pie came out of that thing.
Yeah.
And if anybody's been to the Grant House, you know what raisin pie means.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it started, and Char's like 2 feet to my right, and both of us, as we're asking questions and getting responses, intelligent responses from the spirit box, are watching that battery just drain.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very cool thing. And, you know, as you had talked about your EVP experience as well as spirit box responses, I mean, there is nothing better than getting those. And especially first time, I think it's you know, it's phenomenal. But I'll be very honest, after doing spirit box work for 15 plus years, I still get super excited when good responses come through. That doesn't change for me whatsoever.
And I was ecstatic every time we got an answer. And then with the EVPs on my cheap little digital recorder, I think I'm still listening back to a bunch of those, just trying to, like, what's the best way to put this? Debunk what I can't debunk, but yep, I keep trying to.
Yep, makes sense. Makes sense. That's a good investigator. You know, it's so easy to just take everything that's being done at face value, but sometimes you want to be able – a good investigator is going to debunk, right? Because you just can't accept everything. And it's not – you don't need to be, you know, to other people jerkish about anything. No one was. But, you know, it's just a matter of let's do the due diligence, right?
Yeah. And there's a few voices and things that I've gotten on the recorder that even listening to it back probably 7-8 times each one of my files at this point, I still can't debunk.
Absolutely. Why don't we do this? I am we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get to the question of the week. We had a lot of people who put in an answer to it. Also, feel free to give us a call, 952-946-6205. Let us know in the chat anything you want to talk about. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Dare.
And don't forget, if you're able to, join us tomorrow in St. Cloud at the St. Cloud Armory, as a bunch of us who are into the paranormal are going to be at Paraconnection 2023 Paranormal Expo. That's tomorrow, September 30th at St. Cloud, at St. Cloud Armory. It's $7 to get in, but it's going to be very well worth it. There's going to be a lot of great vendors there, a lot of teams. I'm going to be there, so please come by and stop by and say hello, as well as Char Savoy is going to be there. We're going to be doing a presentation together at 2:30. It's going to be a lot of fun, so please check it out if you're able to. Even if it's nice weather, please give it a consideration to come on down and check it out. I want to kind of get to our question of the week here, and if you hadn't answered but you'd like to do so, you could go ahead and put it into the comments. Also, we had a second question today, and that question simply is, if you had ever had some unique anomaly happen to you during a thunderstorm, because we're getting crazy thunderstorms over here at the moment, if you had any unique phenomena, let us know what that is. I'd be very interested to know. I know Adam would be too, just because, you know, we know that those are energy conductors. So anything happened that you want to share with us, you put it into the comments, or you can give us a call, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. The question this week simply was, name a haunted location that you've never been to but would like to go to. You know, that's such a simple question, but boy, some really good answers. And some places I've never been, some I have, and a lot of just on my own page, we had about 50-some responses, which I was really surprised about. It was good to see. Adam, what was yours? Because you put it, I think you put it on the Ghost Box page. What did you have?
I had three of them.
Yes.
The place I want to get into the most, Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia. That place I want to get into so bad. That one is so intriguing. Two, the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
And really not so much for the ghosts, more so that's where Stephen King stayed, and it's a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to go to there, haunted or not. The other is the Hiabachu Forest in Romania.
Yeah.
That is a perfect circle in the middle of the forest that nothing grows in and is purportedly haunted.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, nothing grows or thrives there. That's actually where we record this radio show. Is it, you know, coincidence? I think not. So Kyle says Winchester Mystery House.
I have no sense of direction. I would get lost.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble. But honestly, I don't think I have really any outstanding desire there for myself. It just doesn't – I mean, there's so many places. I've heard it's really cool.
Yeah, me too.
But it just doesn't – like, if someone said, hey, do you want to go do this? Absolutely. But I don't think I'd necessarily go out of my way to find it and do it.
If it happened to be along the way, if I'm going, absolutely. But without my sense of direction, I would never leave that house.
You would be one of them, my friend. You would be joining the spirits at the Winchester Mystery House. Annalise says Hummel Park in Nebraska. Danae says Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, where, you know, this is also recorded from there as well. Jill said there's a number of people that said Alcatraz as well.
Alcatraz would be neat.
Yeah, it would be neat. But I like what you said about the Stanley House. I feel like that Alcatraz for me would be more for the history part of it than like the spirit part of it.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, I mean, if we've heard stuff happening there before.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories is, and I cannot remember the prison guard's name, but he did a couple of the ghost documentaries, and he was talking about how everybody would be in their cells, and there would still be people out walking around. They would see these full-body apparitions of what would be prisoners. It's like, hey, get back in your cell. And there's nobody there.
Absolutely. Going to our chat, Linda just put in, one day I'd like to visit the Rengsdorf House in Mountain View, California. It's still haunted, but they do host weddings and tours. So get, you know, your best man could be a ghost. It could be a spirit.
There you go.
Why not, right?
I mean, I haven't heard of that place.
I haven't either. There's a couple on here I have no idea about. And I'm certain, you know, Natalie had said both Winchester House and Alcatraz. So she there. Barbara says instead of the famous headliner locations, and this is where I really also agree with, instead of the famous headliner locations that several investigators have done, I'm going to say Lincoln, New Mexico. This strip of road is called the deadliest street in America because of the Lincoln County War. I know without a doubt there has to be activity between Billy the Kid's last escape at the courthouse where he killed deputies Ollinger and Bell, but all of the men who died in the war between the Regulators and Murphy's men, the soldiers McSweeney. No one has ever, that I've ever seen, went investigated this town, at least on the shows, I would say. They did have ghost tours, but the pandemic shut it down, and they never started it back up. That would be my number one. Thank you, Barbara. That's
awesome. Go, yeah. Barbara. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way I would like to do it as well. And I think that's kind of what we try to do with the events, like the Masonic Lodge. No one had been there before. We're trying to get into – and someone had said the Mounds Theater in St. Paul, and we're talking with them right now about trying to get in. And now Mounds Theater has been around for a long time, and people have investigated. It's not so much off the beaten track, but it's you know, it's not like, say – which is a wonderful place, like the Palmer House, where that's where so many people, when they think of Minnesota, haunted Minnesota,
right,
they think of the Palmer House. So let's see here. Sean says Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. I mean, how many penitentiaries are there? There has to be so many that have kind of fallen into disrepair, or that some people own it and that they allow these sort of things in that we haven't even heard of yet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Winchester. Kim says No Pimming Sanatorium in Duluth.
I've heard of that. And when the brief time that I lived in Duluth, people talked about how messed up that place was, but nobody could get into there.
I investigated there.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
How did that go?
That was pretty cool. I mean, it's so big. There's like four buildings or whatever, each floor about between 6 and 8 floors. I think they alternate. I mean, the place is like, you know, I probably took 10 years off my life because of all the asbestos, but, you know, well worth it. so he says, as he's like still coughing over here from a cold that I picked up last week at the event. But it was great. I mean, it just you can't explain it. You do have to experience it. And yeah, it's a shame that they don't let anyone in at the moment.
Yeah, like I said, the brief time I lived in Duluth, I wanted to go there even just to tour the place, but there was nothing.
So a couple things. Candy says Alcatraz as well. Darren says the Stanley. Lisa says, and I cannot but agree with this 100%. Glensheen Mansion in Duluth. I mean, from what I understood about that place, first of all, you can't do that there.
Yeah,
they don't. They really look down on all of that. But secondly, I also believe that they are so careful about that place that they don't want you to take pictures with a flash because they're afraid of what the light's going to do to the wallpaper on the wall.
Yeah, and they've tried to come out several times and be like, there's nothing here, quit trying. But it seems like every time they put out that there's nothing here, four or five more guests of the place are like, hey, well, this happened while I was here, so.
Right. No, exactly. Lisa also said the William A. Irvin up in Duluth. I've investigated that. That's cool. I had a great spirit box session there. I remember that. I remember that I had a really good session there, and I had a lot of people from another team that were not so into the spirit box, and they were very impressed by what we were getting and how it mattered to the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, no, that was a lot of fun. Deanna says on a local level, Wabasha Street Caves, yes.
Yep.
We're working on that as well. And Fort Snelling. Now, Fort Snelling, no, that's not going to happen. No.
I didn't even know there was any paranormal reports out of Fort Snelling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I had asked many times over the years, and the guy just responds the same every time. It's not that – and it always comes across of, I don't want anyone here.
Gotcha.
It's not the standard of – the Minnesota Historical Society or Fort Snelling, it's I don't believe this. And I run into that quite a bit.
I imagine, yeah.
And it's like, I think you're missing out on something, to be honest. let's see. Vicky says Hellfire Caves in UK.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Kelly says, I know it would never happen, but wouldn't it be cool to be able to investigate Glensheen. So come on, Glensheen, help us out here. Brian Taylor says Borley Rectory, that was located in Essex, first heard about it while reading After Harry Price. Ryan says Tombstone, Arizona, the whole area. Now, I have investigated Tombstone. Yes, especially the birdcage.
I was going to say, I heard the birdcage is exciting.
So real quick about that, I remember with the person I was with, and we were doing the tour beforehand. It was a ghost tour, and then you go and do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let me bring in my spirit box. They said it's the same as a Ouija board. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. It's your house.
Yep.
But we're sitting there, and first of all, we're hearing a lot of disembodied voices. And so I said to the tour guide, I said, "Is it normal to hear voices outside of the building? Like, are people outside and you can hear?" And she goes, "No, that doesn't happen." Like, then are you people hearing the voices? And it's not in my head, because the person I was with, she heard them as well. And then so the tour guide, she's in like a period piece, and she has a big bow at the back of her dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking away, and the person I was with and I were watching, and the bow is literally untying, like someone took like one of the strings and just pulled it out.
Oh, super cool.
It was just and all of a sudden her, I mean, it wasn't like she was naked suddenly,
right?
But it just opened up and she's like, "What happened?" And we're like, "We were watching it the whole time." In retrospect, it makes us sound like perverts, but it was very much like, let's see where this goes. And the person I was with, she picked up on the name Big Minnie, and Big Minnie was the owner of Tombstone, or not of Tombstone, but of the birdcage. And I had been in touch with Big Minnie ever since through Spirit Box.
Oh, excellent.
And I asked
maybe
her.
Maybe excellent.
I think it was great. I mean, but I asked her the question. I said, "Do you prefer not to be called Big Minnie, but just Minnie?" And she's like, "Yes."
Right on.
So then every time after that, I just call her Minnie, you know, because mm-hmm. that she was a person that was she was a big person, but also one that took care of the women at the birdcage. You know, the birdcage was really nothing more than a brothel.
Yeah, it was a glorified brothel with a stage. Yeah.
Exactly, and gambling.
Yeah,
and she made sure that if there's going to be women there, that they're going to be treated respectfully, that they're going to be paid. They're going to be paid a good wage for what it, you know. And I know people are like, well, that still doesn't matter. I mean, that still happened. Yes, but she looked after them.
Yeah, and in that time period, that will never happen.
No. And if she saw anyone mistreating her girls, she would personally kick their ass. As simple as that. And that's why they called her Big Minnie.
Okay, but let's go back to that real quick.
Yeah.
You said she's wearing – the tour guide was wearing the period piece.
Yeah.
All right. So something I've always kind of wondered. So places like the Birdcage or the tours in Gettysburg or even where I'm from, Econor Prairie in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that places like that, the paranormal activity spikes because you have reenactors who are in period pieces all the time talking in that time period, if that just fuels – and do you feel it's more residual hauntings or intelligent hauntings when you have that kind of atmosphere going on during the day?
In my opinion, I think it's intelligent, and I think it does fuel it. I mean, look at this show. You know, you and I talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about – we have now every night for 3 months in here, we talk about the paranormal. What's the one thing that you've seen activity increased here since we started going nightly?
Yeah, we have. And I meant to tell you this last night before you showed up. I heard two steps on the stairway heading down, just like two creaks of the steps.
Did you think it was me at first?
At first, yeah. But yeah. Then I looked at the clock. It's like it's 9:04. It's too early for Greg to be here.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, no, you won't see me till about 9:59. So,
yeah,
you know, so that's my opinion, at least. I think there is something. I think that's why, you know, you get people who dress up in the period pieces and stuff as well to try to get some of that activity and see what happens. Couple for Trans Allegheny, Alcatraz. Salem has come up, New Orleans, Stanley has come up quite a bit. Let's see. Now, Bruce says something that makes total sense and I would love to. I mean, this is if Kelly thought Glen Sheen would be impossible, I think there's a much better chance of getting in Glen Sheen than the White House.
Yeah. Yeah. Security isn't as tight at the White House as it is in Glen Sheen, but I think you would be able to get into Glen Sheen a little bit easier.
Just slightly. You know what? I'm enjoying this conversation. I want to keep it going. Why don't we go ahead and take our second break? When we come back, we're going to do more of these. If there's anything that you want to talk about, put it into the comments. Give us a call. We're doing all this right now, and we have plenty more to go. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Well, the computer's frozen, so I guess we'll talk.
You know, actually, as it happens, I had that this week where I had to click on the play button on the three on top, depending on which one I needed to get to. Or else it's a commercial-free episode of Ghost Box Radio tonight.
I think we're going to go commercial-free because I think I got to reboot the Simian. So keep talking.
I think, you know, I think it's interesting because, like I said, that happened to me and it never happened before. So when I didn't hear a spot after we went to break, I figured that's exactly what happened. So, you know, we just go with it, right?
Yep.
So
I'm going to turn my mic off, rebuke this. You speak freely.
I'll speak my mind. First of all, I want to talk before we were going to come back. There's something I wanted to talk about, which was our guest for Monday. And I'm really excited about this. I'm going to have on psychic portrait artist Angela Boley. And she's going to talk with us about her artistic work and how messages come through her to make her paintings. Now, I talked about her briefly last night when we had Miriam on because they have worked together. They've done some programs together, Unexplained Cases. is one of them. And Angela's work is extraordinarily brilliant. But also, for those who are on Facebook right now, you see one of her works up there, kind of frightening. And so, obviously, that's the questions I want to ask, is sort of like, where does this come from? And does that scare her as well? So that's going to be on Monday, and it's going to be – I think it's going to be a really good program. She's so great. She's so talented. I've been a fan for a long time. Now, let's kind of get back to a little bit of what we're talking about with the haunted locations that you would like to go to and you haven't gone to yet. Bruce had said the White House. Dale Swisher said Waverly Hills. There's a number of people who said Waverly. And I almost did an event there in June, and things just, you know how it happens. They get switched or whatever or not. So, you know, obviously at some point I'm going to go back there and do that again. I'm going to grab some water real fast. So my throat and everything has just been so wackadoo, Adam, since the event. So.
Well, I noticed on Sunday when we were having the last get-together and everybody was kind of decompressing from the weekend and talking about things they'd gotten, yeah, your voice started to crack a little bit, and mm-hmm. I figured you was coming down with something. And then, but I will say, you do sound a little bit deeper and sexier.
Well, and that's the plan, right? I mean, yeah. Anything. You know, we did a sponsor meeting with somebody who was going to run commercials for a convention, and he said to me, he's like, can we get the guy who does the opening credits for your show to do the voiceover for it? And Dave Damon, who does the open. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's doing it as a favor for me. I'm not going to pimp him out as a voiceover artist, even though he has a fantastic voice. And the guy was just like, yeah, I was surprised that wasn't you. And I'm like, I suppose, you know, you listen to this deep voice, you know, and there are things people experience but never talk about and everything else. And you get to me, and welcome to Ghost Box Radio, you know. So, yeah, whatever. You know, you don't have to sound scary to talk about scary stuff, I don't think.
No, you don't.
No.
There have been people for years who don't sound scary. I mean, you're a fan, of, like I am, of Hans Holzer and his actual recordings.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have any booming voice, anything like that. He doesn't sound scary at all. He's very easy to listen to. Even one of our favorite people who's still alive, Dave Schrader, don't have to have the scary voice.
Right. Though he is the voice of the Ovilus.
Yes, he is. And that was odd downstairs listening to that, because it's like, that voice sounds familiar. I don't remember. I think it was you. It was like, yeah, that's Dave Schrader talking to us. I was like, oh, okay.
Absolutely. Also, Nick had said Asylum 49 in Utah. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the other half of the building is a nursing home.
Exactly it.
And right across the street is a cemetery.
Absolutely. No, and that is exactly I was supposed to go there last August and I had to cancel. I really wish I could have gone, but to get out there, it's really tough. You know, it's not, I mean, it's, you had there, even when you fly in, you have to take a really long drive to get out there, but
yeah,
it's
because
worth
it's
it.
Kind of in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
It truly is. It truly is. But it's, I just hear people all the time talk about how it is such a great, location. Now, there is a special weather statement that just came through. Once again, strong thunderstorms will impact northern Hennepin, central Anoka, and northwestern Ramsey counties through 10:45 tonight. Take a look at your radar. Take a look at what's going on. If you're going out, locations impacted include Minneapolis, Brooklyn Park, Plymouth, Maple Grove, Coon Rapids, Blaine, Andover, Brooklyn Center, Fridley, Shoreview, Ramsey, and Champlin. Precautionary preparedness actions. If outdoors, consider seeking shelter inside a building, and there could be hail. So that's great, huh? That's fantastic. So just everyone in the Twin Cities area, just be careful, please.
A nice summer storm on the last day or first to last
Pretty
day
much,
of
yeah.
September.
Absolutely. So that's you know, one of the things that always interests me about broadcasting, Adam, was weather reports, like breaking in and talking about the weather. And I just did that. And that's pretty cool.
I will say we're in a safer environment than it was when I did it back when I was a news and sports director years ago. the radio station I had worked at. We were out in the middle of nowhere, like this one kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved down to Division Street in Northfield. We have this giant pane glass window looking out onto the street, and I'm sitting there being like, please move away from all large windows, as I'm sitting there looking at Division Street, watching these storms come in, and telling everyone else, don't do what I'm doing. Standing in front of a large window.
Yeah, and I have to stand here because this is the only room that has a microphone that goes out to the air.
Exactly.
So if you hear glass and me screaming, someone please call help for me. So, yeah. Well, and yeah, we're right out where there's a lot of creepy trees, a lot of darkness.
And a lot of creepy crawlies because we're right on a swamp.
I can't tell, like this week, just the other Wednesday night when I was in here, and to your right, I'm just talking, I look down, and there's some big crawly thing crawling across the desk. And I was like, are you serious? Can I not just do the show without something from, you know, Animal Planet making an appearance?
Yeah, and there's been a couple of times I've seen Percy, the pet snake,
out
front.
Yeah.
In fact, he slithered into the doorway a couple of times. I named him Percy. I don't know why. He looks like a Percy.
I called him something once. I don't remember, but, you know, it doesn't, you know, Percy is as good as any. Yeah, he just hangs out front. You know, he's always by the door.
Yeah, just this one snake, and it's the same snake.
Yeah. He's just a garden snake, right? I mean, he looks harmless, completely harmless.
Oh, yeah. But it is kind of a shock to the system when you put the key in there. You look down like, oh, hi, snake.
Well, Brett told me make sure he doesn't get in because he is not a liberal. So you got to be careful about those sort of things.
I'll still listen to Percy. I like him. He ain't steered me wrong yet.
What does Percy say to you?
We'll talk about that off the air.
Percy speaks to me. Oh my God. What other place that someone brought up? First of all, Deadwood Underground Opium Dens. Absolutely, Cynthia. Those are. I've not been there, but I've been to a lot of places in Deadwood. Have you been to Deadwood?
I have never been to whichever Dakota it's in.
That's okay. So that, yes, you clearly haven't. It's in South Dakota.
Okay.
Honestly, if you and your wife and daughter have a chance to get away sometime, but it's very touristy, of course,
mm-hmm.
but very beautiful and very haunted.
Now, did it become touristy after the TV show?
No, I think I think everything in South Dakota that has like attractions is been always touristy.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I've never been to South or North Dakota.
No. And the thing is like the main street of Deadwood, the historic main street of Deadwood, mm-hmm. is nothing but really shops that are selling T-shirts and stuff, but they're in very historic locations. Every bar is where I forget which of the historic figures was shot. Every bar, it's like he was killed in every bar.
Right.
It's like, no, he wasn't, clearly. Unless they shot him and brought him somewhere else and shot him again and then dragged his body somewhere else. No, probably not. But the reason why I bring that up is because Christy says she'd love to go Glensheen Mansion, but Gettysburg.
I think Gettysburg would be an interesting one to go to.
Gettysburg, and I've told the story, so I'm not going to go into it again, but Gettysburg is truly phenomenal. And the difference between like a Gettysburg and Deadwood is, yeah, you have places in Gettysburg that they sell souvenirs and stuff, but really it's still a town.
Yeah.
It's a town that exists for commerce, for people to live in. It's not touristy. There's enough there, but you know, you how do you turn battlefields into a truly touristy sort of thing? You know, it is. I mean, you can't avoid it, but at the same time, it isn't. You know, you don't go out there and there's like a T-shirt hut or something like that. You go and you drive or walk through the battlefield. You look at all the monuments for all the different battle regiments and stuff. It's beautiful. It's haunting. It that itself just makes it touristy, but it's not a outright like get a T-shirt from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's this photo I remember seeing there's a transparent, looks like Northern or Union soldier,
mm-hmm.
just like standing out in the middle of the field by himself, but battle ready.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this photo several times. I don't know if it's ever been debunked or not, But that is one of the most intriguing photos I think I've ever run across.
You know, that brings up a good point, and I talked about this with you the other day. If I post stuff on Facebook, I post a lot of like pictures and stuff of spirits that we've seen, like famous pictures and stuff. You know, if you're going to come on my page and you're going to say, oh, that's been debunked, you point me to where it's been debunked. I'm not talking to Adam, by the way. I'm talking to the people who are listening, because Adam and I talked about this. It's like, tell us where then. You know, it's so easy for people. Oh, I think that was debunked. Oh, where?
Yeah. We're going to go Reddit on this source. Show us the source of the debunked meme.
Right. Because a spirit photograph, you can't really go source on that apart from who took it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're going to tell me that, oh, no, that was debunked, can you point me to a source or something online that I could go and read that explains to me why it was debunked?
Yeah. If there's, you know, somebody's like, well, we noticed, we looked at the photograph and we can see that it was a layered photograph. Okay, cool. I will take that. That's fine. Show me where, though.
Mm-hmm. Crunchy Soup and Home, which we're going to be doing an event with them in mid-October. I'll talk about that in the next week or so. I've been to Gettysburg. It's pretty eerie, even with all the tourists. And it is eerie. But it's eerie in a unique way. That doesn't really make sense. But I think because of especially the battlefields, I mean – That is just – I've never experienced anything like that. And we've told the story where I was in there like 3 or 4 in the morning. Yes, we're not supposed to be in there. I get that. I don't want to see that. But the thing is, it's so calm.
Mm-hmm.
And all the trees create a silhouette. And there's just something about it that is so wonderful and so peaceful. And I know that so much atrocity has happened there. And when I went, it was the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. I went in July. And when we were in a place called Inn at Air Ridge, that was where we had doing the spirit box and having REM pods going. All of a sudden you hear a massive cannon go off. And we went out to the people. There's people outside smoking. So like, where did that cannon come from? And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wow. Almost had to censor myself there.
Wow. Right?
Holy cow. That would be amazing.
That was incredible because it shook everything. And we're like, well, okay, that means – because it was a thunderstorm night, okay? Full disclosure, it was a thunderstorm night. Well, then it must have been thunder. They're like, no, there isn't anything over here at the moment. Everything has passed through. So no one outside heard it. We only heard it in that room.
That's very cool.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. That was the same night that I had grabbed my spirit box. I thought the event was over. So I stand outside – or I wasn't outside. I was in a different room, and I just thought everything was done. And I had my spirit box. And in at Air Ridge was a Confederate headquarters at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for – you know, it was used as a headquarters. And so I'm sitting there kind of all smug, and I'm just like, so I'm – here I am in your headquarters here, and I'm Union. And how did little old me get in here? And then through the spirit box, you get FU. And it wasn't FU, you get my drift. And I'm just like, ha, ha, ha. So, yeah. And people are like, well, they didn't have that word back then. You know, I don't know when they had the word, but all I know is they said it.
They did. Actually, the F word comes from 1400s Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It come along with the middle finger, and I'm trying to remember the army. They severed the middle fingers of a bunch of soldiers that they captured because that's how you would pull the arrow back.
Wow.
And it was kind of like, F you, we don't need our fingers. So you to pluck the bow, so the P became an F. And that's because it was a feather bow, and that's how that came along about 1400s in Europe. So it would have definitely been over here.
So it's like one of the oldest words that have really retained over time. The stuff that people don't realize they're going to learn listening to our show, I tell you, it's just how it goes. So I see panic on your face, Adam. Are you worried about how the next show is going to start? Have you been able to reboot and get everything kind of up and running?
I think it's going to run when we get to the top of the hour.
I'm not laughing at you. I think what I'm laughing about is that it's not Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday that this is happening. That's what I'm.
I'm actually glad it happened on a night where I'm just like, just talk.
Yeah. Provocation is never the answer.
Nope.
But that was still an interesting experiment. And, you know, to me, provocation, it's more of, honestly, that was more of a real question. I'm a Yankee. So, you know, I'm in there. I'm asking the question. They gave me an answer. You know, and then it didn't go any further than that. No one was called names. Well, I was, but no one was called names or anything. Crunchy Soap and Home says that they were there around the same time in Gettysburg, too, as far as July. Time truly stands still. Gunshots like crazy coming from nowhere. But, yeah, it's totally surreal. I've heard that. I didn't hear that myself. I heard the cannon at Air Ridge, but out in the battlefields, I did not hear the gunshots. So,
now, are there any states that don't have any major hauntings?
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that there is. I mean, everywhere, you know. I'm a firm believer that that spirit is everywhere anyway. You know, it just doesn't. I mean, who knows how many are in this room with us right now?
Right.
So I think that everywhere is.
But yeah. It almost seems like throughout this conversation, we hit up almost every state. And I'm just like, okay, where are we not at?
Absolutely, absolutely, folks. Before we head out, once again, I just want to say that I'll be out at Minnesota Paraconnection 2023 tomorrow. That's 10 to 5 p.m. at St. Cloud Armory in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Come on out, see us. $7 to get in. Adam, as always, good to have you with us tonight.
Thanks for having me again.
Oh, always. We'll be back Monday with Angela Boley. Everyone, have a safe weekend, and we'll see you Monday.